It's Black History Month, and we've got John Anderson talking about Black history from the perspective of Frederick Douglass, his portrayal of that historic character. Kathy Whidden will be with me talking about the family business at Whidden Glass. Opening Nights is celebrating a month of great performances. Lori Elliott will tell us all about what's up ahead with Miriam Dady and another guest in the Business Spotlight. Don't go away.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Whidden Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's done.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far. Money at car stereos, car alarms, things for all you soccer moms, detail and diamond play, pops to fix your tailgate. Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far. Exterior accessories, gift kits for your mud needs, mud tires, nice wheels, everyone will get a deal. Window tinting, that's a must. Come on out and visit us. Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop, we always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts, everything is here from A to Z.
All that is happening here in the month of February, it's tough to know exactly where to start, folks. You got Black History Month. You've got wonderful performances going on all over town, not the least of which are those being presented by Opening Nights. So we've got to talk about what's going on there. Lori Elliott will be with me here this hour. It's a kind of a time of year when there's so much in the making, right, and happening all at the same moment. And you got lots of things coming up here in March and April, but right here in February, you know, when you look at some of these folks that are just formidable, world-class musicians. Now, tomorrow night is the Prism performance. You know, check that out. But then you got Smokey Robinson coming up on the 11th and 12th. That's next weekend. And Long Long on the 15th, man, if you don't, even if you don't like piano music, you owe it to yourself. You got to check this out. The guy is world class and is celebrated on some of the biggest stages around the world, including the Grammys. So anyway, Tallahassee coming on strong with Opening Nights, and we're going to find out some of the history of the organization. Lori Elliott generous in her remarks with us about how this all got started, and a bit of a forecast. You know, where are they headed? It'd be interesting to find out from her perspective how much Opening Nights sees itself in the future of Tallahassee. And I'll have to say, my observation is a lot of these kinds of things that have happened in the past, have been part of our history, are changing as Tallahassee is changing. In other words, we're becoming less interested in an elite group of people and much more interested in the diversity of our community on along a lot of different levels or different lines. If you want to think in terms of the diversity of thought, diversity of lifestyle, diversity of income or occupation, even location, geography, right? So sometimes it's more than just a couple of zip codes. Maybe it's actually several counties that better defines who Tallahassee is. I'm going to pick old Lori Elliott's brain about that, see what she thinks. We got Kathy with Whidden Glass talking to us in segment six today. Now, there's an interesting Tallahassee story. That's a 71-year-old company, Jack Whidden, her father, a commissioner, city commissioner for many years, the oldest glass company in Tallahassee. And you know them well here if you're any kind of regular listener, because Whidden Glass has been one of our founding members of the firm. I mean, they have been underwriting this here radio show for our duration, I think. I think they were back there right at the beginning. By the way, we are celebrating our 7th anniversary this month. Isn't that great, Carl? 7 years of this, or shall I say we're now beginning our 7th season. That'd be the way to put that. So we're having a birthday, too, I guess. Is it a birthday or an anniversary? I don't know. In any case, we started now 7 years ago. Have I got that right? No, it's 6 years ago, because we started in 2011. Yes. See, I get all mixed up on the numbers part. But anyway, here we are. Glad to be a part of your day. Thanks for bringing us into wherever you may be at the moment. I hope the weather today will be a bit more enjoyable for us all. Seems like a weather forecast has us in the mid-70s through the day and cooler in the evenings. I don't think anybody can complain about that. I know we got plenty of firewood at our house, courtesy of Hurricane Hermine. Came roaring through and took out a couple of big old pine trees. And I know I'm not supposed to be burning pine. There's a whole story behind that, okay? So don't get all worried about me, because I use my little brush and I clean out the chimney and I get rid of all the creosote and all that stuff. So now you can just stop worrying. Brian's going to be fine. I might be getting a call from Mike Bellamy. I don't know. Maybe. But I did check in. I did my due diligence. I went to Mike and I said, Mike, here's my deal. I'm burning pine in my wood-burning stove. And he was like, Brian, here's what you have to do to make sure that you don't burn down your house. Okay. Courtesy of Mike Bellamy, Tallahassee Fire Department, doing their job, trying to keep the old moose here from causing problems. Big job. Well, nonetheless, back to the point, when you look at Tallahassee's stories, you can't find one more, to me, more illustrative of the history that is Tallahassee when you start talking to Kathy about Wooden Glass and all that they have done as a family over the years, now third generation. And we've been trying to keep up with all of you in telling your stories these now 6 years. And then, since it is February and it's Black History Month, we thought it'd be wise to bring attention to African Americans and their contributions to our nation's history, especially in this business of freedom, the quest for freedom beyond any one individual, and even beyond one particular group of people, beyond the plight of African Americans, what people like Frederick Douglass did, not only for Black people, but for our nation. Because if in fact any one group is not free, then we really aren't, any of us, free. So in fact, we thought it would be wise to pull some of the conversations we had with John Anderson now about a year ago. John is a local actor who portrays Frederick Douglass on various occasions and in various public settings, usually asked to come in as a part of some presentation or whatever. I know he'll be down there at the reenactment of Natural Bridge that first weekend in March. He's usually part of that whole thing. Anyway, John Anderson with us, and he'll talk in the character of Frederick Douglass about some of those contributions that he made, with some admonition for us, even in this time going forward. That's all coming up in the second hour of the show. Miriam Dady is here with another guest in the business spotlight, so we're going to hear from her. If you missed last week's show, she was very adamant about having you contact her. Hopefully you've done that. You can do so always by emailing us topics at TallahasseeTalks.com. Excuse me. You can find her or me on Facebook. Go to the Facebook page for the show. Leave your comments there. I know she was specific about admonishing us to think in terms of our own ideas, our own creative notions. You know, what are those things that you'd like to see accomplished in your life? And perhaps a business idea that you want to foster. It's all very good stuff, and hopefully you'll find it as encouraging as I do when I get to listen to Miriam. Don't forget, too, that if you've missed any episode of Tallahassee Talks, you can find us online at TallahasseeTalks.com. Stay with me. I've got more right after this.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best, like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Time now for today's Business Spotlight with Miriam Davey. Brought to you by Tallahassee Community College Workforce Development.
Hello, I'm Miriam Davey, and this is Tallahassee Business Spotlight. I have a guest with me this morning, Jennifer Duncan with StretchingYourLife.com. Now, before you get afraid, I just want to tell you, these are the good kind of stretchings. So, Jennifer, thanks for being here this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Tell me about Stretching Your Life. What does that comprise?
All right. Well, we
besides
are...
Besides the rack and the chains.
Well,
and...
yes, we're your average torture. No, just kidding. No, we are massage therapy flexibility specialist. We take a whole body approach, a lot of kinesiology-based sourcing of our methodology, utilizing the active isolated stretching mats method. And so we help people rehab from injuries, you know, post-surgery, pre-surgery, just everyday flexibility and mobility, as well as sports massage and things of that nature. We're not your typical spa treatment, like go in there with hot stones, things of that nature. So probably not your most relaxing massage per se, but definitely a effective treatment to massage therapy and stretching.
Now, you said kinesiology. Now, this is a hot topic because all the athletes have all the, you know,
kinesiology tape.
Beautiful tape patterns all over their bodies.
Yes, it's great artwork, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Tell me about that a little more.
Well, the kinesiology tape is really helpful when you have injuries because it helps to pull that fascial tissue away and helps get blood in circulation through the body to help heal. I wouldn't recommend relying wholeheartedly on kinesiology tape, but it is something that can be a quick supplement when you're in need of something, if you're at a sporting event, and
right.
you can't completely rehab something right then and there. So it is beneficial, but kinesiology itself is kind of the study of biomechanics of the body and how the body moves as a whole, as far as,
right.
you know, the head is connected to the foot and not so much thinking of the body in individual pieces like we're usually taught in anatomy and physiology.
So many of us, and I'm talking, looking in the mirror at myself, we try to do things on our own, and it's a new year. I mean, here we are in February, but it's still a brand new year, and we think, man, I'm going to get back to that routine. I'm going to wake up, and I'm going to stretch, and I'm going to do my workout and my circuit training. How is it that you would work with somebody like me to design something that actually works?
Great question. We fortunately offer Monday evening stretch classes from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. It's $20. We go through all the lower body and upper body stretches, as well as neck stretches, and we teach you how to do them on your own. So if you're not around us or coming in for a personal appointment, you know, these are ways that you can kind of work on it at home, and we want to empower you to be able to do that. We also have cheat sheets available that have about 7 or 8 different stretches on them, kind of the main muscle groups.
So I don't need a lot of equipment.
No, not at all. We have stretch cords, which are basically karate belts or gi belts. You can also use a rope, anything that's not going to give to do and utilize all these stretches. So it's a very, very easy way to travel, to do at home, etc. I always have one in my suitcase for when I travel and stretch, you know, while I'm in my hotel room.
When are those classes again?
On Monday evenings from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. And then once a month, we like to do a fun event called Stretch and Brew. And so it's at our clinic. It's a free class. We try to limit it to about 20 people just due to the size of our clinic. But it's where we kind of introduce the stretches to you guys. You have, you know, a home brew that you can enjoy and just kind of get cultivated into what our culture is. We like to have fun. We like to encourage people to have fun. It's a very positive environment. And so we just encourage people to just check it out, even if it's you sitting on the couch and watching what's going on to get a taste because you're not so sure about it. That's totally fine.
How lazy is that?
Hey, but we're more than welcome to let people kind of work at
so
their discretion.
I crack a beer and I watch you walk out.
If that works for you, that works for us.
What is your typical client?
We get all kinds of walks in life. You know, we have our youngest client would probably be anywhere from, you know, 8 to 9, currently probably a teenager, maybe 12, 13 years old. And then our elder clients range all the way up into 93, 92 range.
Yeah.
We've got your weekend warrior athletes. We've got your high level triathletes. We've got people that just want mobility. I have a gentleman who came in and he just wanted to be able to touch his toes. So we were able to get him to touch his toes, and that, you know, he loves it. He's like, I've never felt better. I can crawl around on the sailboat without having problems. And he's just, my back hasn't gone out. It's just fabulous. So it's, we don't really have a specific client in mind. It's mainly those that just want the help and realize that, hey, I need a mobility, addition to my workout or life.
Do you do any kind of assessment of your clients, or do you just go by what they tell you?
We listen to both. It's surprising how much information you can get from watching somebody get up from a chair in the waiting room to walking into the main room, to also what they're telling you and what they're not specifically telling you through their words. So we try to pay attention to a lot of that unreally spoken language. We also do somewhat of a medical, quote unquote, I guess, assessment of checking the hips and, you know, hip discrepancy, leg length discrepancy, and things of that nature. Things that you can visually point out to a trained eye.
Right.
So, you know, all of the above, and then, you know, obviously pain and close attention to what kind of job life they have, home life. You know, is it high stress, low stress? Other factors that they're free to speak to you about, but also kind of tend to factor into what's going on.
Where are you located?
We are located at Manor at Midtown over on Thomasville Road, right by Sweat Therapy and Finnegan's Wake.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of in the heart of the city, so we're a little bit of your heartbeat going on. So, yeah, just we're always happy to have people just stop in.
How can people find you online or by the phone?
Online or by phone. Our website, as you mentioned, is stretchingyourlife.com. We also have a Facebook page. So if you want to check us out, search Stretching Your Life, and you can find us there. And then also a good phone number would be my mentor and great teacher and owner is Kim Ortloft. Her number is 509-6643. But yeah, we'd love to have people, you know, check us out and see what we're about. We'll also be out at the Tallahassee Marathon this weekend.
Perfect.
So if you want to come out and see us there.
That's good. I want to have you back again because we didn't even get to talk really about massage and some of the other aspects of what you do. Is that good for you?
Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
Okay, everybody listening, I want you to get in touch with Jennifer Duncan, stretchingyourlife.com. You have a little time to do some homework, and then we'll have you back and talk about some of the other aspects of your job.
That would be lovely.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Miriam Dady and Tallahassee Business Spotlight. Thanks for listening.
Have you heard about TallyConnection.com? These are the folks who bring us all of the events and activities going on around town. It's a great little spot. TallyConnection.com. Go to that particular blog. You can find out everything you want to know about fundraisers and kids' activities and festivals and concerts. It's all there, brought to you by FSU Credit Union. And they make it possible for us to bring you Tallahassee Talks every week. So we like the fact that we're working together. We even have a link to their TallyConnection.com site on our website under community. So there's a good way to find them. TallyConnection.com. Visit this week. Find out more about what you love about this town. Events and activities, all to make your life a little bit better.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
In the marvelous world of entertainment here in the Tallahassee, North Florida area, there is this jewel referred to as opening nights, originally dubbed 7 days of opening nights going back to 1999. So we have this opportunity to speak with Lori Elliott. She is representing opening nights for us, and it is a pleasure to welcome you to the show. How are you, Lori?
I'm great. Thank you.
Thanks
Appreciate being here.
Absolutely. You look good, too. Yeah, sharp. Folks, it's radio, but I hold it as a pledge that it is my responsibility to let you know how great looking my guests are. And Lori is right in there. So we have a marvelous February in store. It is absolutely important that you stay close to us in this this next few minutes, because we have the likes of Smokey Robinson, right? And Prism. That's tomorrow, isn't it? That's Prism.
Sunday.
That's on Sunday, mm-hmm. Right? And but then you've got Long that's going to perform on the 15th. Lori, you have come to the organization with fresh eyes, I think, as their new marketing director, and you come with a perspective, as I've begun to understand what you're seeing with those eyes of yours, opportunities for us that perhaps we didn't notice. When you think of the folks that are coming now in February to perform, people like Long Long, mm-hmm. What do you want us to know?
I think that for us, it sometimes can seem intimidating when you see a performer that's a world-class performer, such as he is. You know, he's performed on some of the biggest stages at the Olympics in Beijing. He's been at the World Cup in Rio. He's even performed with Metallica. But at the heart of it all, he's a classical pianist. And some people might say, well, does that really appeal to me? And I think the answer is yes. I mean, come out and experience it. It's right here in our hometown. He's probably the most well-known classical musician in the entire world. And for us to bring him to Tallahassee is a real coup. And the tickets are very reasonable. There's plenty of great seats available. And I just encourage people to come out to say, right in our backyard is a world-class musician that we have the opportunity to see.
Yeah. My understanding, too, is that his performances are energizing.
Oh, energizing. Yes, I think they say, you know, words that describe him are inspirational and, you know, emotive. He plays with so much emotion. And I think that, for me, that's what's going to be super exciting is if you've seen him on TV or even on YouTube, it doesn't really depict the emotion to which he plays. And so here you have the opportunity to be a part of it, to not just listen, but to even get his energy and the emotion with which he plays. So I think it's going to be wonderful for everybody who can make it.
I think of parents right now, especially who have kids that aspire to such things, whether they are piano students or not. Mm-hmm. They are interested in musical performance. Maybe interested in vocal performance. that you take them to a show like that and they come away changed, don't they?
They do. I really think so. I think back, I was one of those struggling piano players at an early age.
And too.
So I think that's why he appeals to me.
Mine was the accordion,
so
by the way.
Okay, where
you yeah.
Well, that may be even worse than mine, but you know, I was that poor kid. I took piano lessons for 10 years, and I think I'm tone deaf. I just was terrible. I would come home and then go to practice, and about, you know, 10 minutes or 20 minutes, my mother would say, "Okay, Lori, let's take a pause. You know, the family can't take it anymore." And, you know, my dad would say, "What she lacks in talent, she makes up for in passion and enthusiasm," which I thought was great, but then I realized those were just euphemisms for she cannot play at all. So, you know, I finally gave it up, and now I just leave it to the professionals. But you're right. I think it can change a child's perspective on things and become, you know, you don't know when you are exposed to something like that what it does to somebody in their, you know, inner soul far as changing it.
Well, and I bring that to your attention because it seems to me Opening Nights has labored under a kind of, I don't know, presumption among a lot of us that, well, this is for rich people and this is for people who are sort of, you know, elevated in their opinion of music and their knowledge of music and such. And I'm not hearing that. I'm getting that this is for everybody.
Right. I think that's really contrary to our philosophy. I think one of the things I most applaud Opening Nights for and now have the privilege of working there is the fact that we really try to reach out to the community. You'll see a number of our tickets are $15 for students. And that's not just FSU students. That's TCC students, Florida A&M students, high school students, because we really want to give the opportunity for our young people to experience it. The tickets are very reasonable, and we're able to do that because we do have so much support from our businesses in the community and members joining. And we really make it a priority to make this affordable for people of all means to see great works of art and come and experience it.
So PRISM is tomorrow afternoon, the 5th.
Correct.
And that is still, there's still tickets available.
There's still tickets available.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So you've got that one, folks. And then comes Vocalosity?
Yes.
Tell me about Vocalosity.
Well, that's an interesting one. It's an a cappella group kind of based on the popular, you might see Pitch Perfect. Some of the shows out there. And the neat thing about this is the main event, Leon High School's a cappella group is also going to be performing with Vocalosity.
Oh, cool is that?
Yeah. And so there again, even when we bring these national acts in, we really try to make it bring in the hook with the local component and working with the community and getting some opportunity for our young students.
I love that.
Yeah.
Look at that. See, folks, this is why we like Lori, because she fills in all the little gaps and I'm better informed. Now, then we have, this is on the 8th, Twyla Tharp Dance. I like that.
Yep.
And then comes Smokey Robinson.
Smokey Robinson.
Come on, folks. This is on the 11th and 12th, so that's next weekend, right?
And there's still
plenty of tickets?
Plenty of tickets and great seats, especially on Sunday the 12th. Visit openingnights.fsu.edu, and you can find tickets. And the great thing about our website is it's so convenient. You can look and actually pick your tickets based on seating. So you can see the auditorium.
There you go.
And, you know, get with your friends and coordinate where you're going to buy, you know, seats together and look at it.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, so make it really easy.
Openingnights.fsu.edu. In fact, I'm looking at the ad that you have on the back cover of Tallahassee Family Magazine, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
So, folks, if you haven't done that, pick up a copy of Tallahassee Family, and you go to the outside back cover, and here's everything that Lori's talking about right there in front of you. We've got, Richard Thompson is on the 15th, and the Blind Boys of Alabama. Oh, my goodness. I love those guys.
Yeah.
And then comes Chris Botti.
Bodie.
Okay. That's the 14th. Valentine's Day.
I was going to say, what a great treat if you're looking for that Valentine's gift. Here is an opportunity.
Sweet.
Everybody loves a date night.
I mean, I can. Does he play flugelhorn or
he plays a trumpet. He plays a trumpet, and I'll tell you, you know, he's a spectacular jazz trumpet player in his own right, but he has also performed with a couple of names we may be familiar with: Sting, Paul Simon. Mm. You know, just to throw out a couple.
Formidable talent.
Yes.
And then the aforementioned Long Long on the 15th, right. And again, plenty of tickets there. And then on the 23rd, tell us about Pablo. Is it San Villegas? How do I say that? That one's a tough one. Okay. Well, folks, if you will go and look at openingnights.fsu.edu, check it out. Get your tickets now, because after today's conversation with Lori, I have a sneaking suspicion that tickets are going to go pretty quickly. You stay with me. I've got Lori Elliott here. Opening Nights is our conversation. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We'll be right back.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back and we're talking with Lori Elliott, Opening Nights, upcoming performances here in the month of February. Now, the season goes beyond February, right?
Correct.
You guys go all the way into when?
April.
April. So you got March, April coming. We won't take your time now. We'll have to have you come back and tell us about March and April, I suppose. But, you know, the thing we got into a little bit earlier has to do with this contribution that Opening Nights represents to the community, yeah? And in that contribution, it actually goes further back than 1999?
Correct.
Tell us about that.
There's actually, you know, there's been a number of artist series throughout the years, and Opening Nights, if you want to say, it wasn't called that, first goes back from our records back to 1923 when it was called the Florida State College for Women Artist Series. So FSU has a longstanding tradition of promoting artists, providing performances for our community to come see.
Remarkable. And in those days, I suppose the folks that were performing had a similar sort of standing, right? They were the folks that audiences at the time would have recognized. Mm-hmm. What again, I think is notable is that as Florida State University has evolved and grown and developed, and its perspective on the world has come right along with that, you've become even more inviting, mm-hmm. I think, more inclusive. And so the fact is you've opened up your arms, and I can tell you, talking with Chris Hecox over the years that he's been on the show, when he got involved here a couple of years back, it was very clear that his perspective was to reach out to the world, you know, the worldscape, and find who are those in the world's lineup that are available to us that otherwise, as you say, we would not get to see in performance. I mean, most of us don't have the means to fly over to Paris or even New York to see some of these folks that you were talking about. What's the most rewarding part of this for you personally?
I think the opportunity to give back to the community and work with the community. That's the most exciting. I mean, I feel you, as we were talking before, you said, I must be a kid in a candy store. And I really feel that way. I have the opportunity, one, to work for my alma mater, and then two, work within the community and reach out to the community. You know, at the focus of opening nights with all these great performances, the mission of a key component, the mission is about arts education. And we really are striving to do that and reach out to the community.
You're not a newbie in that regard. Tallahassee has been your home for a long time.
30 years.
Yeah, and a grad of Florida State.
Correct.
Yeah. Did you get a degree in marketing when you were at Florida State? Is that your background?
My background is in communications.
Really?
And so I got my degree there, yes.
Cool.
And so now I have the opportunity, you know, I've worked in the private sector for many, many years and now have the opportunity.
Doing what?
Marketing and communications.
Yeah.
Working in association management, and then had the opportunity to work for a publicly traded real estate developer for 10 years. And so was able to develop some marketing and communication skills, and now
I
can use that and really have the opportunity to apply it then to FSU
real estate
nights.
Development. I mean, that's like being a Navy SEAL. You know, if you're in that business, I can't imagine the last 15 years of being in that enterprise. No wonder you have scars.
I was going to say, you know, you're in the trenches, and I think sometimes
goodness
that's helpful.
Sakes.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You're tough. Okay.
Yep.
Well. Here you are, and now looking back through all those experiences and taking what you've learned and applying that, what do you see, I guess, as a initial, and I know you've been in the position now a short time, but you've already got some ideas about where you think Opening Nights needs to go in its marketing message. What would that be, do you think?
I think we need to still, you know, we have a great foundation on which to build. And I think it's still reaching out to our community. We have a number of partners. You know, we work with TCC as well, high schools, all of the different folks here, different venues. And I think to continue that, to say, hey, you know, as Opening Nights for FSU, we have a role, and that is to help educate and bring some of this talent. And we take it seriously.
Yeah.
To the community. And I'd also like to see, you know, Tallahassee has grown so much in 30 years, and I really believe that a rising tide raises all boats. And that the more that Opening Nights can bring this high caliber talent in, it really benefits the community as a whole, because then you see other venues or other folks bringing in performers as well. And some of the reason they're willing to come is because of the success of Opening Nights.
Yeah,
we've been
yeah.
able to open the doors for others. And let's share the success. That's what I really am excited about, that we can raise the tide so all boats get, you know, can rise.
Do you think there is a misperception? I mean, I have suggested that, but I do so because when I talk with folks about Opening Nights, they seem a bit uninformed or misinformed. They think that it's really for the elite and those who are affluent who can afford such things, or the music is so confined to a kind of, you know, maybe chamber music or something, you know. But I'm looking at this lineup, and that doesn't match.
Mm-mm. No, I think we really try to be diverse, and we focus on that.
Yeah.
And it's not at all, you know, and that's where I think from a marketing perspective, there's some opportunities there to reach out to perhaps some other, you know, areas we haven't done within the community. You know, are we doing enough? And the young people, you know, are we doing enough from a social media standpoint, you know, because they're our future, and they're some of, you know, the biggest folks that want to listen to new music. So how do we attract more of that crowd as well and get their input and feedback?
Yeah, it's a big job. Seems to me that you've got them laced up. You're ready to go. So you've got a few more months left here in season 2017. What's beyond that for you? What happens as of May 1st, I guess?
Well, we will be already, we're in the throes of planning next year, and it's very exciting because it will be our 20th anniversary. Mm. So Chris Hecox, our director, has a number of things up his sleeve, I'm sure. You know, looking at who we're going to be bringing back as well, perhaps, to do some new things, new artists as well. But it will be a 20th anniversary, I can assure you, to remember. As much as this year, as he says, is the boldest we've been with the most diverse and really strongest lineup we've had, I would anticipate that next year will follow suit as well.
You mentioned social media. Is that part of your perspective on new media for this coming effort? I mean, how do you reach those families that you otherwise have not reached, I guess is the question.
I think it is. And, you know, we have so many young people right there, and we work with a number of interns. And so really want to tap them and say, hey, you know, rather than my perspective, what is yours? How do we speak to the millennials? How do we get them involved and be a part of the process too? Another goal that we have from an opening night standpoint, because we're right here within the Tallahassee community, is why can't more regional publications write about us and really put us on the map? You know, we hear about the great cities of Savannah and Charleston or some of these others, but Tallahassee, I feel, is really an emerging, you know, community as well, with this great cultural music niche, if you will. And so how do we get on the map for others to say, hey, come to town for 2 or 3 days and see some great acts? You know, these great performers. And so I think that's a goal, too, for us to work with the community at large and say, hey, let's put us on the map of, it's a destination as well.
Folks, Lori Elliott, she's the director of marketing for Opening Nights, our guest this morning. Lori, thank you for making the show even more special.
Thank you.
For being here. And encourage you again, folks, check it out online, openingnights.fsu.edu. Get your tickets. Do it today. Don't wait, because these are going to go fast. You are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerning. Stay with me. Coming up at the top of the hour, we've got ABC News, and I'll be back with more right after this.
The most talked about topics in town, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerning.
Welcome back to the second hour of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerning on this lovely Saturday in February. Black History Month it is, and we're doing our part in wanting to make that celebration and recognition throughout the month, each week. And in this week, effort to do so, we're going to bring to you a conversation I had with a guy named John Anderson now almost a year ago. John is celebrated locally for his portrayal of Frederick Douglass, and in having him here on the show then last March, he was able to bring some remarks that I thought were rather transcending or transcendent, in the words of and in the voice of Frederick Douglass, again, his portrayal, hearing of those times that were historic for him, who were monumental in terms of the nation's future. The question very much in the fray of the Civil War and its outcome, the question as to whether any of us, if all of us can be free, then what is it that we consider freedom? When do we know that we are free? And if not all are free, then how can any of us say we are a free nation? So those are the kinds of debates we're having even now, are we not? Those are the kinds of conversations that get us sometimes upset and riled up. And sometimes we are terribly concerned about whether freedoms are being challenged, whether they're being stolen away. That's a good concern, and we should all be concerned. And, we should all be vigilant in preserving, protecting, and defending not just the Constitution of the United States, but the notion of freedom, the idea of it. Because after all, the Constitution as a document, as formidable as it is in the foundation of our country, is no better than the agreed upon contract, the social contract to which we all adhere or purport to adhere. We claim to adhere to it. If we don't believe in freedom, then the document is of little import, in my opinion. I mean, we by consensus agree that we are a people of law and order. And we are all subject to the outcome, then, of that system. Imperfect though it may be in its execution at times, it is a pursuit. It is something that we continue to strive for. John Anderson helps us, I think, recall some of that pursuit in his remarks and has something to say about our own time. I think you'll find it useful. Well, in fact, I want to be a bit selfish with you here in this segment of the show because a good friend of mine and of my family's from years gone by passed away last week. A guy named Stan Borison, who made his mark in my hometown up there in Seattle, the great Pacific Northwest, for many, many, many years, was a entertainer, a musician. His styling and his performances are legendary among people in that part of the world. And you would know him here because it's been our practice to include him in our annual Christmas show each year. And I refer to him as my Uncle Torvald. So again, longtime listeners would recall this. It's a, yes, silliness, but it's the kind of silliness that I think reminds us that, after all, we're all just a bunch of little kids at our core. It certainly helps us get in touch with some of our more childlike characteristics, which I think is a healthy thing. So we thought we'd just take a few minutes. He passed. He was 91 years old, and he died quite comfortably, actually. He had a stroke, and he was gone, all within a matter of minutes. He was a friend of my father's and of my family as a kid. I had a chance to know him and his son, Biff. We were in a band together when we were in high school. And he was a great guy. He was a wonderful man who inspired a lot of young people to perform in music and on stage. He was one of those kind of folks. And we're going to miss him, Stan Borison. He was 91. So we're going to take just a few minutes here to provide you a bit of a tribute to the legacy of this man and his career and the entertainment that he brought to millions of people. Hope you enjoy it.
You're just in time to sing the theme song, and here we go. Are you ready? Are you ready, Herm? Are you ready, Nomo? Oh, are you ready? Well, for are you here today, too? Oh, for goodness sake. Here we go. All together now. Zero Doctors, Boots, Your Crockers, Hallabalooza, Bub. That's the secret password that we use down at the club. And Zero Doctors, Boots, Your Crockers, Hallabalooza fan, who's now you are a member of King's TV Club with Stan and Herman and Nomo and the old timer and all the gang and all. We're going to have a dandy time today.
I'm Uncle Torvald.
Uncle Torvald, yes.
Uncle Torvald.
We're just talking about the things that happen on live television. You were live too, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every day. 5 days. Every day. 5 days. I'm going to take this off.
Sure, you can take that. Oh, it's a one-piece unit.
No, it's three pieces, actually. No, but we were on opposite you guys, weren't we? 5 o'clock?
I believe so, yes.
Of course,
yes,
you were on morning and night, and I was just on at 5
uh-huh,
o'clock. They
right.
just could take a half hour of us a day.
Well, you only knew two songs. So,
you just kept repeating and repeating.
Yeah,
yeah.
For 12 years.
For yeah, 12
about
years.
About 12 years.
For 12 years.
Now, Stan Borison is in the travel business.
Yeah, my wife Barbara and I have a tour company, and we take tours all over the United States and Canada. We just got back from New Orleans and the Mississippi Queen, and now we leave for that Silver Blue train across Canada. and then we do Nashville, and then we do Nova Scotia, and that'll be the four this year.
When you do this, do you entertain on the tours?
Yeah,
and
I have
do
the
people
accordion.
Expect the tunes?
Oh yeah, because we have song books and we sing, you know, on the bus or on the train or wherever we are.
He told me a secret. He lip syncs to Frank Sinatra.
Is that what he does?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Let me see. Let's have a peppy song. It's such a nice day, and all. Would you like to join us and sing? We should all be enjoying ourselves on a wonderful day like this.
Yeah,
that's
it.
Is that a song plug or?
Well, how about enjoy yourself, Carter? What do you think?
All right. Enjoy yourself. It's later than you think. Enjoy yourself while you're still in the pink. The years go by as quickly as a wink. Enjoy yourself, it's later than you think. Now you work and work for years and years, you're always on the go. You never take a minute off, too busy making dough. Someday you say you'll have some fun when you're a millionaire. Just think of all the fun you'll have in your old rocking chair. Enjoy yourself, it's later than you think. Enjoy yourself while you're still in the pink. The years go by as quickly as a wink. Enjoy yourself, it's later than you think.
That's pretty good there, enjoying yourself in the old rocking chair like you said there.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say that.
Well, I couldn't get into the rocking chair in time. I appreciate you getting me out of the bind there.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
Here in our segment 6 this morning, we have Kathy with Wit and Glass. How are you, Kathy?
I'm fine today, thank you.
The name Wit and should bring to mind all kinds of references. If you are a regular listener, you know that Wit and Glass, for its contribution to this show, has been with us from our beginnings. Or thereabouts, as I recall. We've been on the air now 6 years this coming February. The Wit and Glass Company has been a part of our success, and we're delighted to have Kathy with us because if you don't know this, in addition to knowing that she contributes to this show, her company has contributed to the lives of thousands of business owners and homeowners all across the region, so much so that we often talk about Wit and Glass as the first family in glass in Tallahassee. Kathy, that started with your father back in 1945, Jack Whitten.
That's correct. He had a brother-in-law that was in the glass business in Atlanta, and he had heard and talked with him and learned about it, and he decided he quit the railroad, which
Your
was his
father
livelihood.
Worked for the,
he
the
did,
railroad.
And my mother owned her own hair salon or beauty shop, as it was called back then.
In those days.
But his brother-in-law helped set him up and got a business going. My mother sold her business, and she went to Lively to learn about bookkeeping, and she began to keep
Look
the
at
books.
That. Look at that.
So when it started, it basically was the two plus my dad hired somebody as a shop man who he taught how to cut glass, and that's how they started out.
And the word for someone who is expert at glass is glacier?
A glazer is a phrase for the person who knows how. Back in the day, it was called you glazed a piece of glass, but
I
usually
see.
that re- referred to larger types of glass.
Okay.
Instead of like little pieces of window pane glass.
Ah, okay. And in fact, you do window pane glass.
We do that, but of course times have changed. Windows have changed a lot. You don't have a lot of single pane windows being used nowadays.
Your older homes, insulated
glass, which is double paned or thermal pane. There's different terms for it.
Back
in the day, most all homes had wood sash windows, and it was single pane glass that would go in those wood sashes.
Right. And you still do a fair amount of that replacement,
Well, we do.
Yeah. So you don't sell windows, you sell glass, and that includes not only window glass, but the tabletops for
office custom cut to fit your table,
whether it be in your
office or at home, conference tabletops.
And it was always, was this always part of the glass business for your dad, that when he started, he was doing tabletops and mirrors and such, or did that come about?
I think that was quite at the very beginning. Yeah. That came along a little bit later on, but it was certainly probably someone came in and said, hey, I want to put this on a piece of
Remarkable because these days you're doing shower enclosures, bath enclosures, the mirrors. I've been in your shop when I see people walk in and they'll have some thing they want done, but you folks are referred to as real glass people, meaning that if it's something that can be done, pretty much you can get it done. I see that happen a lot in your experience with the business. Now, you're running the shop. You're at all stations, but I mean, you're really in charge of the company. That happened after your three brothers, I guess, had been involved.
Well, there were five kids. There were four boys and myself. We've all at one time or another worked in the family business, whether it was for summers or if it was a time period in college days.
So you grew up in this business.
I grew up in it.
Wow.
I started going down to the shop with my dad on Saturday mornings. My mom had taught me how to reconcile the previous day's sales receipts, and I could. Back then, it was all done by hand. But she taught me that at about 11.
Wow.
So it was just something I always felt like I might end up in. Tried a few other things out at different times. Mm-hmm. But there were two of the brothers that ended up staying with the business. Pretty much made that their livelihood, their career, working career.
I know Don is one of those, and Mike Whitten, well known to a lot of folks in this town for his role there. Big sponsor of FSU athletics over the years. You're both involved with FSU and FAMU. I know you do a lot of work for both schools.
We do.
And TCC.
Yes, for both schools.
If you look back, I mean, here you are with your sons now working the business, so third generation of Whitten family doing this. Dallas has changed quite a bit. You're looking at not only the changes in the, we'll call it the general aspects of the infrastructure that is Tallahassee, but a change in culture. There's the change in the way people do business, the way they think of business relationships. But you still have a lot of that old school, you know, where it's a handshake and it's very personal, isn't it?
Well, I'm afraid I'm still an old school person. That's my comfort zone. Yeah. But it has changed. I mean, I can look back at the early days when I was old enough to appreciate, you know, and understand a little bit more about the business, that how things have changed. But we try to keep up with it. But sometimes it's our customers that bring us along, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, and they bring you all kinds of challenges. Are there days when you just kind of grab your head and say, why am I still doing this? or is it always just a joy for you? I mean, how do you deal with the tough times? Because they got to be tough times.
There are tough times. There are days that just, you know, it's difficult to try to get everything done that we need to get done and try to meet the customer's time frame. And glass is a product that... you can't always be guaranteed. You can be cutting something and you can get down to the very last minute or two of having it all ready to go and something can go wrong. It is a product that will break no matter how careful you're with it.
I recall seeing one of your crew members over there at Governor Square Mall. some years ago and installing storefront glass for one of the merchants in the mall. And man, what a massive job that was. He was there all day and particularly working on this one feature that wasn't quite what he was expecting, and yet he made it work. It was something he inherited. In other words, he walked into a situation and it wasn't quite what you folks had been told would be the case, and yet he was able to pull that off.
Well, and that's sort of how times have changed. Used to be, you know, you could walk up to a job locally and you could see what was there and you knew what was needed when all of that was decided. Well, now your mall jobs are not really, they're local, but they're not really local people. They're all corporations, and what they tend to do is they determine what they want a storefront to look like, and that's what it looks like in every mall that they decide to enter country. So a lot of times we get into things that we've never really seen or done before, but it's always, I will give our employees credit, they're always up for the challenge of learning and figuring it out and going forward and getting it done.
Find a way to make it work. Pleasure having you with us. Kathy with Wood and Glass here this morning. One of our very fine sponsors, been with us for all of these many years and contributing so much to the homes and businesses in the Tallahassee and greater Tallahassee area. Kathy, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
The company is Wood and Glass. You can find them online at woodandglass.com. You stay with me. We've got more after this.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So as promised, we wanted to take the last portion of the show today in salute of Black History Month. John Anderson was our guest just about a year ago, brought us some remarkable moments as he brings us his portrayal of Frederick Douglass. And so we're going to take a minute or two here, the next few minutes, to consider Frederick Douglass, his contribution to our nation's quest for freedom, and John Anderson and his contribution to us here locally.
Experience such danger, which began even as a slave, sir. As in the slave system, it is necessary that the slave owners maintain the idea that the slave is not to consider himself worthy of anything but the condition of being a slave. And such an idea is enforced by the lash, sir.
Mm-hmm. We find ourselves in the midst of this Civil War, and in all of its bloodiness and terror, we are working to try and preserve the nation. Do you have hope for us as a nation?
Indeed, sir. If we did not have hope, there would be no motivation whatsoever for participation in this war. We are blessed, sir, for the ideas of Abraham Lincoln, who proceeded on the notion that the original Union, as it was conceived by our forefathers in the Revolution, is to prevail. However, he finds himself at war because those that ventured to begin the Confederate States of America believe otherwise, that the Constitution and the original principles of our forefathers do in fact allow the independence of those states who would believe that the federal government as it stands does not serve their best interests. Such is the rationale for the formation of these Confederate states.
As you look forward, personally, how do you see yourself contributing to our understanding?
It is beyond my ability, sir, to impose my own personal beliefs on these circumstances. It is my hope and the gist of my efforts, sir, to have our nation recognize the injustice of its fellow human beings that were descendants of those of Africa to remain in bondage. For indeed, we do recognize that the labors and intelligence of these poor people are in fact crucial to the development, security, and prosperity of our young nation. And indeed, upon the outcome of a Union victory, we would in all God's purpose realize the true meaning of liberty and equality and justice under the laws here in America. However, first we must come to victory, and that prospect is not at all certain. So indeed, it would be most prudent of me to increase my efforts in order to gain the support and participation of those that might bring about Union victory, such that we may gain haste towards this end of victory. And we pray that Abraham Lincoln would find the support and that he needs in this nation, and God willing, sir, we shall find this salvation.
Our friend John Anderson, who has joined us here this morning, folks, you are having this wonderful treat in which John is presenting for us the character of Frederick Douglass. John, you have been at this for some time, clearly, and you have not only that grasp of history, but then his portrayal of his perspective seems quite informed to me. And we talked in the earlier segment about the devastation that slavery brought to this people, black people. Particularly, we all, I suppose, are more familiar with the cruelties that came about most often at the hands of slave owners and other masters who were responsible for the management of this population of people. But what you pointed to was something even more insidious, and that was the devastation of identity as a people. So the fact that they were not recognized as people, as human beings, they were not citizens, therefore, meant there are no records. So then the identity of a people itself is attacked or is damaged or even perhaps irreparable in many ways. That to me seems to be even more or as injurious. So when you think back through that history and think, well, where were these folks before this all came about? It's difficult to know.
Okay.
You follow my logic there?
Yeah, but you're going in a direction that I wouldn't let you go.
Oh, what's that? Set me straight.
Huh?
Set me straight.
Yeah, I'll do that happily, sir. Remember in the first segment I talked about civilization.
All right.
The evolution of civilization. And what you were doing a moment ago is something that you can't do. We shall not try to make analogies from the past to try to explain what's happening now. You get in trouble when you do that. What you have to do is recognize that the ills in society, the ills in civilization from 150, 200, 200 years ago were solely due to the lack of enlightenment of the human beings that lived on this third rock from the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't want to run out of time, so let me just say that Abraham Lincoln, fortunately for us, was correct. He was courageous in that he saw fit to take what was left of the Union to war to put down a Confederate rebellion. The South did not set out to destroy the Union. Okay? So when we talk about the Union going to war, or Abraham Lincoln and the Federals going to war to save the Union, not save Negroes, incidentally, but to save the Union, would have those that are enthusiastic about Confederate history, and I kind of wanted to address that too, to say that they set out to destroy the Union, and that would be a terrible injustice. They did not. They set out to gain their independence from a Union or a federal government that they truly did not believe had their best interests in mind. Mm-hmm. Their way of life, their philosophies, their view on life, including slavery, of course, they considered in contradiction to what the direction that the Union was going, and they did not see the federal government as their friend. Mm-hmm. So they left, and they thought at the time that they had a right to do so. And we can go on and on about whether or not their legal right was legitimate, but it was unprecedented for sure, and they did it. And what Lincoln did is went to war to say, no, my concept of a nation is the original nation conceived by our forefathers. Whatever internal domestic problems we have, including slavery, we're better off resolving those as one nation. Mm-hmm. And that's what he went to war to bring about, the restoring of the original Union, and we'll solve our problems together as a nation. Because he had to think about the big picture. Mm-hmm. He had to think about, we were only like 70-some years old at the time. Mm-hmm. We were not the strongest nation state on the planet.
Right.
There were imperial philosophies and aggressions in Europe. People like Spain and England and France and Portugal, they would come over and undo everything we accomplished in the Revolution. And we would simply be a natural resource for those imperial nations. And that is what Lincoln had to think about. And so he fought to put this country back together. And thankfully, we can see that we're the nation that we are today because he was right.
Talking with John Anderson, known for his portrayal of Frederick Douglass, you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. I want to take just a minute and tell you about Chelsea Salon. They are the official hair care salon and spa for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. And yes, this is how I am able to bring to you my very best every week. Because, though you can't see me, I know whether I'm at my best, and I need all the help that I can get. So when I go over to see Mary Fannin and her crew, they are proficient in everything they do. Wow. Well, I don't think there's anything that has to do with my personal look and feel that they don't do. Here's one review I read recently. This is a guy here in Tallahassee. He says, I am so happy I found this place, having just moved from Orlando, where I had a wonderful stylist for 15 years. Chelsea is the bomb. Well, there you go, guys. So it's not just for the ladies. Check it out this week. Chelsea Salon and Spa, the official hair care and salon stylists for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hello, brothers and sisters in Radio Land. This is blues guitarist Jerry Thigpen. Don't you move, because this is Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So when you're talking to somebody like John Anderson in his portrayal of Frederick Douglass, you're left with this sort of remarkable sense of transcendency. He does this characterization so very well that it does have a sort of transporting effect on you as you listen. Having him here in studio now a year ago, I remember thinking at the time, I'm sitting here with Frederick Douglass, and it was a remarkable experience. I trust that you'll gather from his comments something similar. So let's take this moment in celebration of Black History Month and this conversation I had with John Anderson portraying Frederick Douglass.
That see that association simply related easily to the original concept, which was the Confederate States. Now, what I did learn that I needed to do as Frederick Douglass is address that idea, because one complication about me being Douglass and doing most of my work primarily in the South, mm-hmm. where these battle reenactment festivals that I attend are by and large majority supported by Confederate mm-hmm. enthusiasts. Mm-hmm. They're proud of their heritage mm-hmm. as Confederates. So I have to try to sort out, well, how can this mm-hmm. be? You know, mm-hmm. what I've learned is that many of these people are proud to be Southerners. And they should be proud of being Southerners. The Southern way of life is distinguished from a life in New York, a life in California, or a life in Montana. Okay? They want to be proud of that, and they should be proud of that. But they don't know how to separate that from the ugliness and the evil of this institution of human bondage. Mm-hmm. And a whole lot of them were deeply troubled. I've had more than once grown men crying on my shoulders when I'm dressed out as Douglas, because they feel relief that I can see understanding of them being proud of who they are, but not wanting to be associated with that, the stigma of that evil. Mm-hmm. And the way I do it is first I talk about civilization, and then I talk about humanity, and then I talk about the triumph of this nation mm-hmm. as we are today. Mm-hmm. And because the Civil War turned out the way it did, the Union was restored, and we were one of the most powerful nation states on the planet because Lincoln was right. And what he went to war to do turned out to be the way it needed to be. So as far as the Confederate flag goes, if you subscribe to the original representation of that flag and how it was conceived and what it represented at the time, then you're not a patriot. If you believe that Lincoln was wrong and that the South had a right to succeed and had a, and should be independent, then of course we wouldn't be the nation that we are today. Mm. And of course that didn't happen. That's not the way history went. But if you still insist that that's the way it should be, then you're not a patriot, obviously. Now, I'll be careful. I won't say you treasonous. Mm. I'll let somebody else say that. But that's the way you are. However, if you can accept that Lincoln was right and that we are better off because the Union at the time was triumphant, and we did become the nation that we are today because the Union was triumphant, then you can be proud that you are a Southerner. Mm-hmm. Okay, and I got news for you. 1/8 of the population, the 4 million slaves, they're Southerners too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You see? And many of them stayed in the South after they were free because that's where their way of life was, that's where their families were. Everything they knew was Southern. So they're Southerners too. Not Confederates, but they're Southerners. Okay? So you can be proud of being from the South. And so displaying the flag nowadays for the purpose of saying that you're proud of your heritage, no one can actually say that without honestly recognizing that they're also directly referring to those prejudices and those social ills from that time. Mm-hmm. Okay, you can't escape that, and they know they can't. Mm-hmm. And they also must recognize that there are hardcore racists that still hide behind that banner, mm-hmm. and when they're in the presence of certain people, they holler and hoop and holler about their heritage and how proud they are, mm-hmm. but otherwise they're talking about those old racist sentiments,
right?
Okay,
right.
That they don't say because it ain't politically correct. So everybody knows all that. So we hang the Confederate flag in a museum, and we say this is a part of our history, because it's impossible to display that flag now and ignore the realities of its origin.
Right.
But we can at the same time say that if Southerners can recognize the problem with what that flag represented, then we can be proud of them. But they have to be man enough to recognize that.
So in our final moments here, we are about to finish out the show for today. If we were to ask Mr. Douglas, looking at the status of things as they are, what is America's greatest possible hope? What is your hope for America?
America should represent... Okay, and I'm going to blow you up now, my philosophy, yeah. Okay?
let's hear from Mr. Douglas.
Okay. Douglas would say the same thing John Anderson would say. He recognized that America and humanity should be ashamed of not living up to ideals that both America and men could understand, that human beings are equal. If you're dependent on the labor and the intelligence and moral character and maturity of a slave to do work that is good and constructive, that you know is benefiting the nation, then you are to be held at fault, sir, for not allowing this individual's the freedoms and liberties that you yourself enjoy as a white American living in the same country in the same time, benefiting from that labor. Okay? So the illogic of mistreating people because you want to keep them in a certain status is illogical and shameful. And that can be understood today as well as it was understood by Douglas in his time. So what I say is we must recognize a universal value for human beings on the planet. And with that, we can proceed. And here America can be the leader. We can proceed with all the technology that has involved in civilized man, medical technology, scientific technology, economic and sociological philosophies, everything that we know attributes to quality civilization, if that can be applied to a universal definition for human life, we'll have a better planet.
John Anderson, our guest today. Thank you, John, for his portrayal of Frederick Douglass at various festivals and other opportunities with school children. He has become a noted personality, and it's been our pleasure to have you with us, John. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much for having me.
Folks, that's the show for today. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We're the production of Alcom Marketing and Advertising here in Tallahassee. Our executive producer is Carl Cerny. I'll be looking for you again next Saturday. So come on, Tallahassee. Come talk to me. Have you heard about TallyConnection.com? These are the folks who bring us all of the events and activities going on around town. It's a great little spot. TallyConnection.com. Go to that particular blog. You can find out everything you want to know about fundraisers and kids activities and festivals and concerts. It's all there, brought to you by FSU Credit Union. And they make it possible for us to bring you Tallahassee Talks every week. So we like the fact that we're working together. We even have a link to their TallyConnection.com site on our website under community. So there's a good way to find them. TallyConnection.com. Visit this week, find out more about what you love about this town. Events and activities, all to make your life a little bit better.